So today we're continuing our series, Growing to Spiritual Maturity. Growing to spiritual maturity. You know, you can be in the church for 50 years and never grow to spiritual maturity. In fact, I know a few people like that. They're not in this church. So we've been getting our list, basically, a picture of what spiritual maturity is and what it looks like from 2 Peter chapter 1. And so today we're going to go to the next rung on the ladder, and it's called perseverance. Let me read 2 Peter chapter 1 for you. His divine power has given us. His divine power. Now think about how amazing that is. His divine power, what created the universe and beyond, spoke the world into existence. That's some serious power. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises. Now remember, we're talking about us being able to see the future and believe in the future that God has said we have. Do you believe there is a heaven? Do you believe that He has prepared a place for you? Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He promised that to us. And when you believe that, those are His promises. And He's got some very great and precious promises, as it says here. So that through them, you may participate in the divine nature. What is He saying? Because of those promises, because you believe that that afterlife is there, because you believe that God has a kingdom that is far bigger than we could ever even imagine today, because of that, we're able to now participate in the divine nature that God has given us by His Spirit living inside of us. When you accept Christ into your life, you've got that, and that gives us the ability to operate and live daily in that divine nature. Having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. How many of us have evil desires? About 30% of us. We all have it, right? And those evil desires will overtake our lives, and we give in to those sometimes. And He says, when you focus on that, it helps us to live this life not based on those evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance. All right, so that's where we're going today. And Peter goes on to say that if we possess an increasing quantity these qualities, if you grow in these qualities, you will be effective and productive in the kingdom of God. Don't you want to be effective and productive in the kingdom of God? When you and I get there, I have a feeling the very first moment it's going to be, oh man. I wish I had made all of that life about this. I wish I had just given my complete attention and focus to this. And Peter says, if you grow in this and you think about that and you consider that, you'll be effective and productive in the kingdom of God. And he says, you'll be able to see more and more and believe in that future. And the opposite of that is he says that, you know, he doesn't want us to be blind to that. He doesn't want us to be short-sighted where all we can focus on is the here and now, the pain and struggle of this life. So here's the ladder from that passage. We start with our faith, right? Faith is the foundation, the cornerstone of our lives. And if we put faith in Christ, He becomes that cornerstone, and then everything in the rest of your life begins to be built around that cornerstone, and that cornerstone sets the angle, it sets the tone, it sets the temperature of everything that you've got coming into your life. And so when you build your life based upon this, the faith in Christ that you've got, everything else makes sense. He says, then add to your faith goodness, right? You begin to do things right. So with our faith, we have some people that have only added faith in Christ, and they didn't start to add goodness. They didn't start to climb this ladder of spiritual maturity. They added faith in Christ, maybe as a kid or maybe as a teenager. But they never grew. They never added these things to their lives. The seed never took good root. And they thought, well, maybe this is all I need to do. I just accepted Jesus into my life, and maybe that's all I need to do. I just want to make it to heaven. That's all that matters. And God says, no, I want more than that. I want you to add these things to your life so that we can have a more personal relationship. God wants a growing relationship with us. Imagine if you got married to somebody because they were rich. How many of you would like to marry somebody rich? Yeah, James, David, John Michael. Too late, Jacob. Imagine marrying somebody rich just so that you could go and live in that mansion. How's that going to work out? Not very well. But you marry somebody because you love them. It doesn't matter where you live for a while, at least. No, I'm kidding. It doesn't matter where you live. If you love somebody, you can live in a shack and enjoy life, right? But you marry somebody just to go live in a mansion, it's not gonna work out. And God says, that's the same thing with him. He says, don't just accept me into your life so that you can come live in heaven. That doesn't work. We have to have a relationship. So you've got to add that faith into your life. Add to your faith goodness. Start living a good life, living on the better side of life, doing good things for God, doing good deeds. And you know, we're not saved because of our good deeds, but we do good deeds because we're saved. We add goodness to our lives. And then he says, add to your goodness knowledge, grow in your understanding of who God is, what God likes and what God doesn't like. You see this ladder, we've got to climb this ladder, understanding why we do things the way that we do them, and getting more knowledge about that afterlife, getting more knowledge about living that life so that we can get there, and knowledge about that relationship with God. Grow in your knowledge about your lifestyle. Why am I doing things the way that I've done them? Grow in knowledge about that. Why do I feel certain ways? Why do I want certain things? Get knowledge about that. And you'll also find freedom through that knowledge, because knowledge brings the next step, self-control. Adding self-control to that knowledge. Now that I've got information about my bad habits, I've got information about the destructive things in my life, the things that I need to change, the things that I need to start doing because they're good things. Now that I've got all of that knowledge, I can gain self-control and begin to actually operate with that. And so adding to self-control is perseverance. So let me ask you a question. Have you made it to perseverance yet? Have you gotten to that level yet, where you've changed some things in your life, and now you're just in it for the long haul, no matter how difficult it gets? Perseverance is one of the most necessary qualities in a Christian's life. Perseverance is that digging in part that says, no, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop, no matter what happens. It's that reaching down deep inside and finding inside of you that part that says, I really do want a relationship with God. I really do want an authentic relationship with God, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to stay at it. No matter what comes my way, no struggle is going to overtake me. No mountain is too tall to stop me. No river is too rough to stop me. I'm going to cross that river. I'm not quitting. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it there. I'm going to get there. It's perseverance. King David prayed a prayer, and I want you to pray this with me if you will. He prayed a prayer that I thought would be great for us to start with today. And look at it. And if you will, pray this with me right now. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Man, isn't that powerful? Teach me. That's knowledge. Teach me your way. That's different than my way. That I may rely on your faithfulness. Can you say that you're 100% faithful? Probably not, but he is. Isn't that beautiful? Let me rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart. You know, we've got our flesh and we've got our spirit. God, please help me to live by the Spirit that I may fear your name. Beautiful prayer. Psalm 86. All of our ancestors and our faith, you realize you're part of a great giant faith family for a couple of thousand years now. And actually, before that, all of the greats before Christ, people of faith that didn't even have a relationship with God through Jesus. Like 6,000 years, you're part of that family now. Those are your ancestors. But all of them, one of the biggest qualities they had to have was perseverance, endurance, doing the right thing for a long period of time. And even more than that, when they messed up, when they failed, when they faced great struggle, when they sinned, or when they didn't trust God and they went their own way, they didn't stop. They didn't quit. They got back up and they just kept on marching and trusting in God's grace and His mercy to get them to that finish line, which was actually a new beginning. Perseverance is endurance. Jesus said this, "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." The one who endures to the end will be saved. And God has promised reward to those who endure. Hebrews chapter 10, "For you have need of endurance. You have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." God has promised great things, but you've got to endure. You've got to persevere. You can't stop. You can't quit no matter what. You can't be nearsighted. You can't be blind. It's so easy for us to look at the struggles that we're facing today and to forget about that. God says you cannot do that. Don't put blinders on and don't be nearsighted. Keep your eyes fixed on what I've promised you, and it will get you through this day. You've got to persevere. Don't give up. Don't quit. The Apostle Paul was a man of great endurance. He wrote to the church in Corinth, and it's funny. There were guys that were there, and they were boasting about their spiritual lives and their positions in the church and their religion and their hierarchy, and they were boasting about, "Oh, I'm so great and I'm so good. My hat's taller than yours, and I've got more stripes on my robe than you've got." Whatever. And Paul said this. He said, "Well, okay, that's fairly foolish that you guys are doing that, but I'm going to be a fool with you, and I'm going to go ahead and start boasting about something myself. But my boasting's going to be a little bit different. Instead of boasting about how rich and powerful I am and how much God has blessed me because I'm such a great person, instead of boasting about that, I'm going to actually, you know, I'm going to actually let you know what is worth boasting about." And he says this. He says this, and understand, you know, these guys come out and they're talking about how good they are and how great they are. And he says, from prison, he writes this. Dirty, nasty prison that was for the Jews by the Romans. He writes this. He says, "I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea." Now, how many of you want to follow Paul? "I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, and then he tells a little story. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of Damascus guarded in order to arrest me. That's how much a threat this guy was to these people in Damascus. They surrounded the city and were looking for Paul the apostle. And he says, I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through their hands. That's endurance. That's perseverance. And what is he saying? He's saying, I kept my focus on what God has promised so much that I knew all of this was okay in spite of the difficulty, in spite of the pain. I trusted him for that. And again, he wrote in Philippians, he said, brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what lies ahead, straining toward what God has promised, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call in God in Christ Jesus. So all the kingdom greats had this quality. They wouldn't give up. They wouldn't stop. They wouldn't quit. No matter how bad it got, they said, no. I'm not just going to heaven. I'm going to have a relationship with God, and I'm going to trust Him all the way. And I trust in all of His promises. So here are some of the things that we need to persevere in. First, we've got to persevere in our faith. Persevere in your faith. You will be shaken all the way down to your faith. And unfortunately, you will be shaken time and time again as the years go by. Some people throw off their faith when hardship comes. Some people let the trials and the pain of life cause them to just say, you know what, forget it. And they throw their faith away. When life falls apart financially, they throw their faith away. When they lose a loved one, throw their faith away. And God says, I want you to fall on this rock. I want you to trust me. I want you to let this be that foundation that you can fall on and be safe and hold on to it. Don't let it go. I've seen people leave God for a man or a woman that they wanted to marry. How many of you know that didn't work out? I've seen people leave and throw their faith out for something that didn't even make sense. I've seen people leave God because they didn't get their way in the church. You ever seen that? Throw your faith away. And in that moment, it all makes sense because they felt like they were justified in drifting away from God or just throwing their faith away. We cannot throw our faith away. But I've also seen people throw their faith away and then they come back. Isn't that beautiful? That's how wonderful God is. He gives us that opportunity. King David wrote this. He said, for you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord. From my youth upon you, I have leaned from my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. Let us hold fast, Hebrews chapter 10, to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Hold fast. Luke 1:37, for nothing will be impossible with God. You got to hold fast and he will never let you go. Don't let go of your faith. In Isaiah chapter 46, God was comparing himself with idols and the worshipers of idols. It's kind of interesting. The whole chapter is really interesting. I'll just read a part of it. He said, their idols are borne by beasts of burden. The images that are carried about are burdensome. He's saying, man, these people carry these weights around, these images that they've got to worship, a burden for the weary. They stoop down and bow down together. Unable to rescue the burden, they themselves go off into captivity. Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob. All the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth, you whom I've upheld and have carried you since you were born. I carried you since you were born. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. That's his promise. Now listen, you may feel like you're carrying a load that's way too much for you today. You might feel like what's happening in this world and in this life and in your life personally is way too much. And listen, I understand that. There are times that you just feel like you can't even breathe another breath because this world can be horrible, right? But God says, and listen, God promised this to the Israelites who at this very moment were being unfaithful to him. He promised, I've upheld you, I have carried you, I have watched over you, and I'm telling you that if God could promise that to people that weren't even faithful to him, then don't you know how much more he can do that for people who have Christ living inside, who have accepted by the blood of Christ the forgiveness and life of righteousness with him? Don't you know that he can do that for you? He says, I am he who will sustain you. I made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you until you get there. That's his promise. Lamentations, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Man, that's beautiful. Persevere. Persevere in your faith in Christ. Don't give up your faith in Christ. Persevere in goodness. Persevere in goodness. Add goodness to your life. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Don't grow weary in doing good. And then again in Galatians 6, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. What is he saying? God's promises are true. If you'll just hold on to goodness, if you'll keep learning and doing good, he says you'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at that day of Christ Jesus. God is going to finish what he started in you. But you can't stop. You can't quit. You've got to keep going. You've got to give it your best. Don't stop. Don't quit. Keep moving forward and never give up. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. What is he saying? Persevere. You're going to get there at some point. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you've done. What matters is where you're headed now. Persevere. Persevere in goodness. Persevere also in our trials. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who just accepted him into their life. No, those who love him, those who accept him and love him in their lives. And then James chapter 1, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. What is he saying? The trials that you face, those produce the steadfastness. Those produce the ability for you to persevere. Persevere also in your temptations. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings closely to us, and let us run with endurance. Run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, right? Psalm chapter 119, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's perseverance. Persevere through your temptations. Persevere also in our worship. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Shout for joy. Shout for joy for God. When's the last time you did that? Oh, God. This morning? Yes. Beautiful. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask for or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I don't stand before you today as a man without sin. I don't stand before you today as a man without failures, without pain. I don't come in and smile at you and tell you this is going to be an easy trip. I'm not somebody that stands before you without shame, that doesn't face temptation and trial. I'm not a man that has built some great empire that if you emulate my ways, you'll have a great empire to as wealth behind your name. I'm not somebody who has wealth and everything is going great in my life. And I'm not teaching you how to say the magic words to get God to bless you. But I am a man that's been called by God from birth, that no matter how difficult life gets, no matter how much I fail, no matter how much I hurt, no matter how much loss I have, and no matter how many times I look in the face of betrayal, I have a God who holds me. And as long as I don't stop and I don't quit and I keep getting up, I'm going to cross that line. And I want you to make it. And when I fail and when I fall, there is a great cloud of witnesses, including my wife, that are not there saying, "You're an idiot. What's wrong with you?" I assume Angela can see everything in my life now. You know what I'm saying? And she's not saying, "You're an idiot. What are you doing that for? I don't understand." There's not this disgust and disappointment. They don't push me saying, "Oh, you're a fool. What's wrong with you? You're a loser." This great cloud of witnesses is a group of people. They're the family that have gone before us. They're the people that are cheering us on. They're the ones saying, "You can make it. You can be great. Don't stop. Don't quit. You're going to make it. Just keep getting up. You'll never fall and fail without God holding you. He's going to hold you all the way through if you don't quit." And that far outweighs these momentary struggles. And when I forget about that, that's when I fail. That's when I fall. James David, would you come? Hebrews chapter 11. I need you to take a big deep breath because we're going to read the whole thing. I'm going to read it from the Message version, so those of you who are following along, it might be better for you to just listen. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. Wow. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors. It set them above the crowd. By faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word. What we see created by what we don't see. By an act of faith, Abel brought a better sacrifice to God than Cain. It was what he believed, not what he brought, that made the difference. That's what God noticed and approved as righteousness. After all these centuries, that belief continues to catch our notice. By an act of faith, Enoch skipped death completely. He was just taken up. They looked over all over and couldn't find him because God had taken him. We know on the basis of reliable testimony that before he was taken, he pleased God. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. Do you believe that he cares enough to respond? Yeah. By faith, Noah built a ship in the middle of dry land. He was warned about something he couldn't see and acted on what he was told. The result? His family was saved. His act of faith drew a sharp line between the evil of the unbelieving world and the rightness of the believing world. As a result, Noah became intimate with God. By an act of faith, Abraham said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place that would become his home. When he left, he had no idea where he was going. By an act of faith, he lived in the country promised him. Lived as a stranger, camping in tents. Isaac and Jacob did the same, living under the same promise. Abraham did it by keeping his eye on an unseen city with real eternal foundations, the city designed and built by God. By faith, barren Sarah was able to become pregnant, old woman as she was at the time, because she believed the one who made a promise would do what he said. That's how it happened, that from that one man's dead and shriveled loins, there are now people numbering into the millions. Each one of these people of faith died not yet having in hand what was promised, but still believing. How did they do it? They saw it way off in the distance. Waved their greeting at it and accepted the fact that they were transients in the world. People who live this way make it plain that they're looking for their true home. If they were homesick for the old country, they could have gone back at any time they wanted to. But they were after a far better country than that. Heaven country. You can see why God is so proud of them and has a city waiting for them. By faith, Abraham, at the time of testing, offered Isaac back to God. By an act of faith, Isaac reached into the future as he blessed Jacob and Esau. By an act of faith, Jacob, in his deathbed, blessed each of his sons in turn, blessing them with God's blessing, not his own, as he bowed worshipfully upon his staff. By an act of faith, Joseph, while dying, prophesied the exodus of Israel and made arrangements for his own burial. By an act of faith, Moses' parents hid him away for 3 months after his birth. They saw the child's beauty and they braved the king's decree. By faith, Moses, when grown, refused the privileges of the Egyptian royal house. He chose a hard life with God's people rather than an opportunistic soft life of sin with the oppressors. He valued suffering in the Messiah's camp for greater than Egyptian wealth because he was looking ahead, anticipating the payoff. By an act of faith, he turned his heel on Egypt, indifferent to the king's blind rage. He had his eye on the one no one can see and kept right on going. By an act of faith, he kept the Passover feast and sprinkled blood Passover blood on each house so that the destroyer of the firstborn wouldn't touch them. By an act of faith, Israel walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. The Egyptians tried it and drowned. By faith, the Israelites marched around the walls of Jericho for 7 days, and the walls fell flat. By an act of faith, Rahab, she was a prostitute, the Jericho harlot, she welcomed the spies and escaped the destruction that came on those who refused to trust God. I could go on and on, but I've run out of time. There are so many more. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, through acts of faith, they toppled kingdoms, made justice work, took the promises for themselves. They were protected from lions, fires, and swords, sword thrust, turned disadvantage to advantage, won battles, routed alien armies. Women received their loved ones back from the dead. There were those who were under torture, refused to give in and go free, preferring something better, resurrection. Others braved abuse and whips and, yes, chains and dungeons. We have stories of those who were stoned, sawed in two, murdered in cold blood. Stories of vagrants wandering the earth in animal skins, homeless, friendless, powerless, the world didn't deserve them, making their way as best as they could on cruel edges of the world. Not one of these people, even though their lives of faith were exemplary, got their hands on what was promised. God had a better plan for us, that their faith and our faith would come together today in 2022 to make a completed whole, their lives of faith not complete apart from ours. Do you see what this means? All of these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it. Knowledge. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way. The cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. And when you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Isn't that powerful? These are your ancestors. These are the people you come from. Your faith in Christ. You are in this family now. Wow, these are some strong people. I don't know everything that's going on in your life. I don't know what all you've been through. I don't know all of your pain and all of your struggles. And I don't know what you have to climb in order to get where you need to be. But I do know this, that when you make him your God, he has promised you he will carry you. He will hold you. And I do know this from personal experience. The closer he is, the less you feel him. Don't feel like he's abandoned you. You might feel like it, I should say, but don't believe it. He's holding you. It's the old proverb, footprints in the sand. Persevere. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop. Keep trusting and keep your eyes fixed. He's coming. I keep pointing to the north. It's more like that way. Would you bow your heads? You say, well, John, it's kind of late for me. Seem like I've gone through a lot in life. And listen, there was a guy hanging on the cross right next to Jesus. He was about to die. It wasn't too late for him. Jesus told him, this day, you and I, we're going to see each other. You will make it to eternity with God. Give your heart to him right now. But it's more than just making it to heaven. It's about the journey between now and then. Will you choose to love God in spite of your struggles? Will you choose to trust him through your addiction? Will you choose to trust him through your problems and your pain, and even your shame? Just don't stop and don't quit. And maybe you're here today and you gave up a while back. Today's the day to renew. God, I'm going to persevere. Maybe you've never started the journey with him. Today is the day to add to your life faith in Christ, that firm and strong foundation. Make him the cornerstone of your life, that everything in your life begins to be built around Christ. Don't just add him to your life somewhere. He's way bigger than that, and he won't allow it. You have to put him at the foundation of your life. Jesus, I invite you to be the foundation of my life that I build on, that everything in my life, my relationships, my job, my finances, everything in my life, my ministry, what you've called me to do that I've never even thought about or considered, I give you my life and I ask you to be the foundation of it. And I want to get to know who you are, what you like and what you don't like. And I thank you for your forgiveness that legally takes away all of my sin. I'm grateful for that. And I want to live the rest of my life focused on your kingdom and where I'm headed because of your promises. And I give you my heart today. And I thank you for being my God. And God, today, there are many here that in the face of hardship and trial, they choose to persevere like our ancestors did, people of great faith. We choose to believe your promises and what you said are true. We will not give up. We will not quit. We're your people. And this is what separates us from the rest of the world. We believe in you and your righteousness and your faithfulness and your promises. In Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, maybe you're here today and today was a day that you gave your heart to Christ. Not going to embarrass you, not going to have you stand up or anything. Other than I just want to give you an opportunity to say, John, yes, I accepted Christ into my life. And if that's you right where you're seated, I just want you to look up at me until my eyes catch yours right now. Thank you. Thank you, God.